was that they had made their brain or their mind or their intellect really number one in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to tell you, my friend, if you are going to go with God, you really have to set that intellect aside and become a spirit-led person. And you really need to be spirit first, mind second, flesh third.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the person that's pushed their mind to serve them and to be the primary source of information, direction, and decision-making in their life, if they've done that, then the mind is number one, probably the flesh is number two, and the spirit is squeezed down, scrunched down in a deep closet somewhere as number three. And, of course, if you're talking to a person that's into, you know, some type of gluttony like alcohol or food or drugs, they've made the flesh number one.
Yes.
And probably the mind number two and the spirit number three. We need to get so congruent with the Lord and do it His way. Have the spirit be number one, the mind be number two, and the flesh be number three. That's the person that comes to happiness and rest that He's talking about in Isaiah 28, mm-hmm. is a person that allows the Spirit of God in residence in their spirit, Jesus in their spirit, to direct their lives.
Yes, it says in 1 Corinthians 14 that when we do receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, our mind is unfruitful. We have to receive that and turn off our minds, our reasoning, because it is not going to compute. And if we try to think about this thing, it is not going to happen. And so many people who do not receive this say, well, it's just not for me. But they don't have an ability to turn off that reasoning and to turn off their mind for a while and allow Holy Spirit to come through them.
Now, I know that's true, Barbara, and in fact, I think about the scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, many of you have said to me, Darren, there's an anointing on your ministry, or some of you don't know the word anointing yet. You haven't been around the gospel circles long enough to know all the language. You'll say, man, there's something unusual. There's a power. There's something real here. You go for the bottom line, or they might say, like I said, they might say, you go for the juggler. Well, we do. And you know, Paul did the same thing. And I read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, and here's what he said. And then we're going to tell you about the real process of receiving Holy Spirit. It says, and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come to you with superiority of speech and of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. Now, Paul could have done that because he was highly educated by some of the very best teachers of that time. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now here comes the payoff. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now that word power there is dunamis. That is the explosive power here of Holy Spirit. And I think that is so exciting. And a lot of you have been turned off by your church, or by the church you were raised in, or by some religious practice, because it was powerless.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been out looking all over the place for something that would give you that edge on your circumstances. And that's why so many people, Barbara, get over into the occult. Some of them are so desperate they call a psychic line, or they go to a palm reader, or someone reading tea leaves, or crystals, or fortune tellers. I mean, even some Christians have been so beat up that they've even tried some of these things, which really brings an occult influence into their life. And those power forces, folks, out there in the spirit world are enemies of God. If you've done that, right now stop and repent. Say, well, God, I didn't know how wrong that was. Mm-hmm. See, that is an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. And you won't have His blessings on your life if you've been contaminated by that. So just ask Him to forgive you. Maybe you've been reading the horoscope every day in the newspaper. That is a profound sin. You see, we want you to win. We want you to win. We're just trying to do it God's way so we can win. We want to help you win. And here, when our teaching and our preaching comes through with persuasive words of wisdom based on the power of God, see, that's what makes some people uncomfortable, but that's the doorway to freedom and power.
That's right. Praise God.
You agree with that?
Yes, and we have seen revivals down through the years where the men of God who have brought these revivals to America have not been educated men. They have not been men with degrees. They have been the men with the stammering lips, and many of them have been with the foreign tongue that Isaiah has been talking about. And we want to bring that little scripture out in Isaiah. Let's see, 11, verse 11 of Isaiah 28, that God had to bring forth his power and glory with through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. And so you may say, well, that foreign tongue doesn't necessarily mean speaking in tongues or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, if it didn't, then why does he bring it up again in 1 Corinthians 14:21 in the chapter where he's talking about speaking in tongues?
Right.
Because that is what he meant. He was going to bring this people to their knees by bringing the power of Holy Spirit through stammering lips, that's you and me, and through foreign tongues. And we find that in Acts 1 when they spent that time together, 120 in the room, waiting on Holy Spirit, that he came to them with a foreign tongue, a tongue they could not understand.
And before we give you that scripture here, in fact, several scriptures in the book of Acts, I want to read this scripture to you. It says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Praise
That's
God.
Found in John chapter 4, verse 24. See, and sometimes we as human beings are trying again to figure it out. We're trying to say, well, what's the scoop here? How do I get with God? How do I communicate with God? How does he communicate with me? Well, first of all, you need to address him as a spirit. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, not with natural words, not with human desires, do we worship him. Now, certainly we can bow down before God, paying great respect to the Lord God. We don't go in church and run around like a bunch of crazy people. We go in church and we bow down and give great reverence to God. At least we bow in our hearts, but we give him that heart attitude, and then with our mouth we sing to him, we praise him. And see, now we're going to introduce you to the idea and the concept here and the reality of worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's what he wants. He wants us to not worship him in ignorance, but in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus was speaking really to his disciples, and he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait. And wait until the power comes on.
In fact, those were Jesus' last words. His last words to his disciples before he ascended to his Father and now sits at the right hand of Father God in heaven. He said, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. We cannot be witnesses, I do not believe, without this power of Holy Spirit in our lives.
Well, I can tell you, we can't be powerful witnesses.
That's
and we're
true.
Not going to be leading people to Jesus in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
We need to lead them by the power of Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is the one that convicts the people that they need Jesus.
Yes, hallelujah.
Or convicts them of their sin. But here, this power, and I want you to notice this if you're following through in your Bibles with us, and I hope you do. I hope you'll re-listen to these tapes over and over that we send out to you or that you pick up in a meeting. But it says, you shall receive power. Now, notice the sequence here. When Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, the power comes with Holy Spirit. You don't get the power and then the Spirit. You get the Holy Spirit, and he has the power.
That's right.
And that power is what removes the burden and destroys the yoke. And that's prophesied in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. But I want to tell you, many of you are absolutely up against the wall. Some of you listening to this tape may have tried suicide. You may be contemplating suicide or running away or doing something really crazy, or you just say, I can't handle this anymore. I've got to get out of here. The pressure's great. I can't sleep. I can't think. Now, I've been there. I know what that's like. But I can tell you this. I know when I take this wonderful gift of Holy Spirit, and I pray with an utterance. I let him pray through me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you ask for this marvelous gift, he will baptize your spirit with his spirit, all right? And Jesus is the baptizer. He is the one that takes the Holy Spirit, immerses your spirit, and fills your spirit with Holy Spirit. Now, many of you have been water baptized. You went to a church, or you went to a lake or a stream or whatever, and they immersed you. They put you clear under the water. And that was a sign to those watching and also to you, and you changed. When you came out of the water, you had been immersed, we would say, in Jesus. You were baptized in the name of Jesus or in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but you were put under the water, and it was symbolic of really a baptism of the flesh, in a sense, of your physical body. But you need the baptism of the Spirit to really worship God in spirit and in truth.
That's right. Even Luke here, who wrote Acts, says in the second verse of Acts 1, he's talking about Jesus beginning to do and to teach. And it was not without Holy Spirit, Darren, until the day he was taken up after he had, through Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles. And he did all of this. He taught. All this New Testament taught by Jesus was done through the power of Holy Spirit in him.